All right, and we are here now with local Duluth runner Shelly Thompson. Shelly, thank you for joining us on the Duluth Rundown.
Well, thank you for having me.
So, Shelly, first of all, let's talk about some of the kind of the current situations that are going on with the COVID things and race cancellations and, you know, group running being paused for so many people. What have you been doing to kind of stay runner sane and just exercise and be fit in general?
Well, I'm still working full-time from home, so I only have my evenings and weekends available. And we had to cancel the NMTC Spring Series, so that was really depressing for me. I have been just running on roads just to keep from going nuts. I would prefer to run on trails, but with them being wet and unsuitable for running, I have to run on roads. It's tough.
And have you been training pretty well, Shelly? I'm looking at your ultra sign up right now, and I mean, you had quite the spring and summer lineup going. Kind of what's your training been like lately?
I don't really train per se anymore. I'm kind of awful at that. That's why I register for so many races, because that forces me to run. I pay for the races, so I show up. That's probably why I'm so slow. Yeah, I don't do a lot of training, though. I do a lot of races.
And kind of what's your idea having these races? I mean, obviously, so many in the month of April have been postponed or canceled, and, you know, May kind of looking the same way and for the foreseeable future, really. Do you plan on doing anything special? For instance, it looks like you're signed up for Chippewa 50K, which is next weekend. Do you have anything that you're going to do kind of in lieu of that race, or Superior Spring Trail Race? Something in lieu of that race, like a big day, or what's your kind of thought about that with races being canceled?
Well, I'm hoping the trails are clearing up soon, because I like to, when I have the time, just go out and run the trails all day. I'll go out for 6, 7, 8 hours and just make a day of it, and I would love to be able to do that. I just saw on Facebook Jeff had posted some pictures of the Chippewa 50K trail, and most of it's in good shape, except for a small section that's underwater. but once we can travel again, yeah, I would like to travel and start running on some of these courses that I can't race on this year.
Yeah,
I think the trails are getting close. It seems like kind of just peeking at them a little bit. Kind of as you go by, you look inside the woods a little bit and see. And it looks to me like they're getting close. I think probably north side of slopes and hills and stuff are going to be a little more snowy, but southern facing slopes have got to be bone dry by now. So that's kind of nice. We're getting there. Yeah.
We still have over a foot of snow in parts of our yard here.
Is that right? Wow.
Yeah. So I'm sure there's some areas deep in the woods that have the same.
Yeah, probably so. Yeah.
Areas drift and things like that. So yeah, I think it could be a while. It's kind of crazy to think like, those chunks of snow are probably still from that December snowstorm. You know, we didn't really get that much snow late.
No, we really didn't, but it stayed cold enough. You're right. I'm sure that's most of our early season snow left out there.
Yeah.
So Shelly, let's go back a little bit. Tell us when you got started running and maybe who kind of motivated you to get going with it.
I wasn't much of a runner growing up. I would just go for a run when I was mad at my parents. I would go and run it out. But then my son Keith did grandma's when he was 18, and I went and I watched him. And then the next year, my daughter Tanya did grandma's, and then the year after that, I joined them. So they kind of got me started. In doing that race, I would take my son Keith to the NMTC series races when he was in college and didn't have a car. And Jaro and then Barb and Jean Pernow were the race directors. And I would sit at the start finish line and just watch and wait for him. And they were all very kind and allowed me to do that. But then my son said, well, Mom, you're here. You should run these races. And I did. And the courses were so beautiful. And I was, of course, not in great shape. So I would run. I would walk. I would wander. I would look at the pretty sights. I would come in after dark. And nobody said, you really should come in sooner. They had so much patience. Finally, Keith said, you know, this is a race. At least finish running. So, yeah, that's how I got into trail running. And then I started training with Rick Kuczynski. And he was doing a lot of ultras. And so I started training longer with him. Run 48 hours at a time, run overnight, go with him and run ultras. So he's really the one that got me into the ultra trail races and introduced me to the community there.
Cool.
Long ride.
when are we talking, Shelley? When was that first grandma's you did, or when was that first year when you started attending or running those NMTC races?
2008 maybe. Well, my son was still in college and he's almost 37, so quite a few years ago for the NMTC races. And my first grandma's was in 2004, and I've done them all consecutively since then, so I'm disappointed not to be able to compete this year.
Wow, everyone. I mean, that's a 2000.
That's, yeah.
It's a lot, yeah.
And then my first ultra, I think, was in 2009, Trail Mix 50K.
And where are you from, Shelley? It sounds like you've lived in Duluth area for quite some time, especially in your entire running career. Is that right?
No, actually, I grew up outside of Chicago. Oh. And then my folks moved us up to Hayward when I was a teenager. And then I lived in Drummond, Wisconsin. And while I was living in Drummond, I worked at SMDC. So I would run after work. So this was my community up here in Duluth, even though I lived in Drummond, Wisconsin. I didn't actually move up to Duluth. It's been about 7-8 years now. 8 years I finally moved up here. Very nice.
Cool. So Shelley, I'm kind of curious if, you know, you start off, you're doing the road marathons, you do a few of the NMTC, you get into the ultras. Did you find your preference kind of shifting towards ultras and trails, or is that just like who you knew being, you know, training with Rick and said like, well, I'll just keep doing this? Or did you really find that you were better at trail ultras, or you liked them more, or kind of what shaped your preference, I guess, for your running races and such?
I prefer the trail ultras. I don't like to go fast because I have troubles breathing. I have like asthmatic problems. So I can't push myself super fast without struggling to breathe. So I like to go long and steady. I've done 100-mile before, and I've done several 100Ks and several 50-milers. But as I've gotten older, I've slowed down and I don't make the cutoffs. So I'm unable to do a lot of those, but I have the ability to go long and slow more than short and fast.
Shelley, what are some of your favorite races?
I love Chippewa 50K, and that may just be because that's usually the first race of the spring and our first opportunity to run on trails. Duluth is usually still closed. But the trails down south are clear, and it just feels so good to run on dirt again after a long winter. I also love Spring Superior 50K. That's just a beautiful section of trail. I should say Eugene Kernow in the Voyager. I'm on the NMTC race committee, so I should give them a plug. But there's in our courses, we have sections of like snowmobile and ski trail, sections of road, and I'm not as wild about those. I would much rather run on single track. So yeah, an icebox 480. I've done that one the last couple of years, and that's a good course too. It's a nice single track in River Falls.
Mm-hmm. What's some of the farther places that you've traveled for a race before?
Probably Kettle Moraine, which is just southern Wisconsin. But I've been down there 3 times so far. I did 100K back in 2010. And then a couple years later, I paced my son Keith the last half of the race for his first 100-mile. And then we were there last year, my son and daughter, and then my boyfriend Dan and I did the 4-person 100-mile relay.
Oh, cool.
Well, that's a nice trail, too. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Do you have a distance that you like more or less? It sounds like, you know, like you mentioned, doing a 100K or 100-mile, the challenge of the cutoffs is becoming more and more of an issue, you know. But that aside, do you have like a favorite distance or, kind of like your sweet spot?
I like the 50K. I do. In the olden days when I was in better shape, I could pop off a 50K and still feel great for the rest of the day. Now it takes me a good portion of a day to do a 50K, but I still enjoy being out there that long. You know, any day on trail is a good day.
Yeah, that's a good distance. I mean, kind of right in the middle of everything, you know, especially from a general trail runner's perspective, you know, of a 5-mile NMTC race to 100-mile, you know, that 50K is, I think, just right kind of in the middle of that effort-wise or length-wise or whatever.
Right. And if I ever get to the point where I can devote more time to training, which I suppose now I could, I just need to do it, then maybe I can concentrate on some longer distances again.
That's always a commitment when you sign up for 100K or especially 100-miler. I mean, you're really setting yourself up for a lot of running.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you said you have done
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said you have done the 100-mile distance, though, you say, right, Shelley?
I did. Yeah, that was also in 2010. That was kind of my magical year where I did lots of races. Almost every weekend, it seemed like, and just about every distance. Mm-hmm. That year, there were thunderstorms, really bad thunderstorms, and there was so much water. It was like rivers running on the trail and a lot of trees down. I think there was maybe a 30 to 35% finishing rate, and I finished, so I was pretty proud of that.
At what race?
That was at Sawtooth, which is the spring the fall 100 miler up in Lutzen.
Yeah, that's not an easy race to do in perfect conditions.
Right. Yeah, I trained a lot that year. I did a lot of running.
Yeah. Shell, do you have any kind of horror stories from some trail races that you've done? Some things that have gone really poorly and like just a bad day kind of a thing?
I've not had any like really, really bad days. Some people have had issues, stomach issues or such. I think the worst thing for me is, sometimes when I'm running, some of the shoes that I wear, rub on the bottom of my ankle. And for whatever reason, that just drives nuts and kind of makes me run funny and slows me down. I think during one Voyager, I looked for a knife and actually cut the bottom of the shoe out so I could finish. But yeah, well, let's think now. The first year that I was at Kettle Moraine, I did the 100K, and it was that whole summer, a lot of the long races, it was just pouring. It was crazy pouring, and it was cold, and I was so crabby because I was starting to stiffen up, and I got to an aid station, and I was just cranky, and a man offered me to wear a garbage bag. And I snapped at him. I said, I'm already wet. It's too late. Said, no, put it on. I promise you'll like it. It's like, okay, fine, whatever. I put it on. And I generated so much body heat that it dried my clothes underneath the garbage bag that saved my race. And I will happily be white trash during any reigning race again.
Yeah, those things are magical.
They are.
Mm-hmm. They work almost funny. As good as, you know, a $55 rain jacket, and all you need is a trash bag.
Oh, yeah. And they pack up really small. I wore two of them when I did the 100-miler. Carolyn Gunderson and Jim Gunderson were pacing me at that time. I had Liz Olson earlier. But when Jim and Carolyn were pacing me, the rain was coming down so bad. I had on a big garbage bag over my face or over my body. But then it was running down my back and my neck. So I put a little one under my ball cap. And so I look like a little sheik running through the woods. But it kept me dry.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Wow. Race wise, or like, how are you going about planning out your schedule? You said you do a lot of races every year. I mean, just scrolling through your results, I mean, there is a lot of races there, Shelly. Do you try and like pick a new race every year, or do you have like the set of races that you just love and you just have to go back every year? What's kind of your planning method when planning the next year's races?
I have the ones that I love and do every year, and I register for those first and foremost. And then if there's new ones that fit into my schedule, or someone else says, hey, I'm doing this, you should think about joining me, and that sounds like fun, I'll do that too. But yeah, I'm very much into my tried and true races. New ones are fun too, but there's some courses that I just really love. And the race directors too, and the other people that I run with, I enjoy seeing them each year.
Yeah, definitely. And so doing the same races kind of year after year, and I'm sure you've seen kind of the explosion of trail running, and I'm kind of curious your thoughts about that. I mean, on one hand, it's great for the races, you know, to fill year after year, and you know, being a race director, I know that personally, and you know, you on the committee of Voyager and Kernow, like, it's nice to fill the race and just like be financially, you know, stable, so to speak, from the race director standpoint. But on the other hand, you know, it's just more usage. It's harder to get into these races. What's your thought on kind of the explosion of trail running and even ultra running in the past, you know, however many years?
I think it's good to see more people trying to stay fit and participating in these races. But on the negative side, you have to register for races, you know, in the beginning of the year. You have no clue how your year is going to go with training, if you're going to have an injury, if something's going to come up in your calendar. So there's the potential for not being able to participate in a race that I'm registered for, or not being in the kind of shape I need to be in for these races. And also, I have to make sure I have enough money in the bank, you know, to register for, you know, 8 to 10 races at one time. And that's tough.
Yeah.
And then during the races too, it's hard. If I'm not as fast and it's an out and back, and if I start up too far, I've got everybody who's coming behind me passing me on single track. And then on the way back, everybody passing me. And so I'm stepping off the trail a lot, you know. And if there's a lot more people in the races, I'm stepping off the trail a lot, and that slows me down a lot. So that's tough. It kind of breaks my rhythm. But I understand faster people have the right of way. At least that's how I feel.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'd be nice if less people were interested, or there were other races, a lot more races for people to choose from, so we didn't have as many disappointed people. I know we used to have, way back in the day, for the Voyager, people could register the day of, and even for the turnout too, and we wouldn't have near the numbers we have now. But we had to institute a cap. And so we're only allowing so many people in because the trail just can't handle all the feet that want to participate. And that's sad too, because we'd like to have everybody get the opportunity to participate, but the trail just can't handle it.
Did you see a point in time where it was like this boom, like explosion? Or I mean, I feel like personally I kind of was part of the fad. Like I was more of a triathlete in, you know, the early 2010s, and then I kind of shifted to more of a trail runner myself. So I think I like rode the wave of the fad, for better or worse. I mean, I don't know, not really by design. It was just kind of in my mind, like, oh, this looks like fun. And just the races, you heard about them more as just kind of a general runner, you know, or triathlete, just being in the endurance world. You, Shelly, like being in the ultra, you know, trail community from, you know, even before that, did you see a kind of like a boom explosion, or what was your sense on that?
Yeah, it was a lot. There were a lot less people when I first started out, and then it grew slowly a little bit, and then bam, everybody was there. And I hadn't really thought about what could be the reason, but I'm thinking maybe Facebook, you know, or any of these other social media, where people are posting how great the races are and pictures of the race, and race directors are posting their information there and not just on their websites. And, you know, it's easier for people to see, hey, this is an awesome race, I want to try it out. You know, I think that's part of it.
Totally. Yeah. And I mean, trail racing, and I think inherently, is kind of this grassroots feel, and especially coming from the triathlon world. And, I mean, that's like a production. Every race is a production, you know, and just like inherently in the race, like for a triathlon, you need bike racks and you need like race timing and swim caps. Whereas, you know, throw a few salt tablets and a few bowls of chips on a folding table, and that's, you know, you have a trail race, you know, at the bare minimum. And so I think I agree with you how social media could have kind of enhance that just notoriety or exposure to people that these exist.
Right.
Yeah, I think a big thing too in the trail world and in the trail / ultra world that kind of go hand in hand. You talked about the social media. You're able to, in trail running, you're able to really sell the venue super well because you've got so much scenery. You can just sell the scenery if you're trying to market a race or have people talk about the race after the race has happened, so that you're marketing for next year. You're marketing the course and the venue itself, and that's a big advantage versus, say, just another road 5K, which, nothing wrong with road 5Ks. I love them, but you're not going to be able to really sell that venue as well as you can, even just a 5K in the woods, which is going to be far more scenic. So you have that aspect, and that coupled with social media, and that coupled with YouTube. For some reason, to me, I was always shocked at how the ultra world and the trail world specifically really took to YouTube and videos far more than what the road running world did and what the triathlon world did. And if you'd think if anybody would take to the self-promotion that YouTube videos tend to be, you'd think it'd be the triathletes a little bit, because they kind of, it seems like, I'm just stereotyping here, but they tend to like sort of like that attention a little bit. But the trail world, which I would almost, again, stereotyping, I would say that might be the group that tends to be a little bit more less likely to want self-attention. But the trail world really embraced the videos and all that stuff on YouTube, which again sold the venue really, really well, because now you've got, instead of still photos, you've got these panoramic shots of all these epic places all over the country. And then people realized, well, heck, I don't have to go to like California for epic trails or Colorado for epic trails. I've got them right here in my backyard. Whether you're in Florida or Duluth, Minnesota, you've got some great trails to showcase that. And then also, like you guys touched on, the laid back attitude that welcomes anybody. So while there is a bit of a competitive spirit in the trail and ultra world, I think it's far less important, the competitive side. I think just the camaraderie is far more important in the trail world, and that makes everyone feel welcome. So all those things, to me, really cause the explosion of the trail and the ultra scene.
I agree. Mm-hmm. 100%. The courses are what sells it for me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
Speaking of courses, Shelly, do you have any bucket list races, a race that you haven't done that you just, you want to do, you know, before your time's up, you have to do, or just anywhere maybe you want to travel to, destination race? Yeah, what's on your bucket list?
I think it would be fun to go to Hawaii and try HURT. I don't know that I would be good at it. I can't breathe at altitude, so it's not likely, but that would be fun.
That's a good choice, though.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. A race that's called HURT, I don't think sign up for it for the fun. Oh, I can only imagine just saying, like, you can't breathe at altitude. I'm thinking, I initially thought of just the thick, humid air, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Funny. Well, maybe, Shelly, if you want to talk about another part of your, I guess, involvement in the running world, and that's as an avid volunteer.
I have my fingers in lots of little cookie jars. I help maintain and administrate the Northline Runner website. I am on the NMTC committee, and Jaro and I are co-race directors of the spring and fall NMTC series races. I also have adopted a section of the Superior Hiking Trail out by Jay Cook, and then I help, along with Lisa Mezzer, does it more than myself. And I help get volunteers to work on my section of the trail in the summertime too. So I'm pretty busy with a lot of my volunteer work. And now that I'm co-directing the NMTC race series, I'm doing less of those races and less running. So that's another reason why, you know, another excuse why I'm not training like I was before. But yeah, with the NMTC committee, we've got, I think 12 or 14 now, I forget how many we have, and everyone has their duties, and we all pitch in on most things, but again, I'm the co-director for the race series, so that's what I concentrate on.
Mm-hmm.
And this last year, this last spring was rough. Because the trails were closed, it was so wet, and a lot of the trails were closed, so I was scrambling to figure out if I could move the course or cancel it, and that was really hard, because the city of Duluth had just gotten involved with making sure the trails were kept safe, and we didn't have that policing before, and so it was kind of figuring out how to work with them and still put on a trail race, you know, a little bit of... well, we're in charge now, so do what we say, but we don't necessarily have the time to look at the trails, but we hear they're bad, so shame on you.
Yeah.
Now, and they're kind of believing us when we say, okay, we've checked the trails, and they're okay. and if they're not okay, we'll fix them. So it's been kind of a growing pains with that. Mm-hmm.
And that's such an interesting debate, I think, because... I think, you know, even when I started trail running, you know, in kind of the 2012-2015 time frame, you know, there wasn't even the thought or consideration of muddy trails could have, you know, lasting damage or really an environmental impact necessarily. And then there's been just such a kind of from like a public service announcement point of view, you know, run through the puddles and, you know, don't go on the trail if it's muddy. And, you know, I completely understand the environmental impact and we want to make the trails excellent for when they are good. But on the other hand, like, it's kind of fun. And I think that's kind of the part of NMTC that makes it fun, is that you go for the spring trail series and you're covered in mud afterwards and you're high-fiving your friends, you know? And so where's the fine balance?
Well, I think our problem is that so many people are participating now. You know, in the olden days, we get maybe 50 people, and 50 people running through a muddy trail isn't going to do as much damage as, you know, I think we've had close to 300, like in the old, you know, a couple of years ago. Right now we get maybe 150 at the most. So 150 people going through a muddy section of trail, is not as cool. And then they tell their friends, and then those friends and other people are going through muddy trails. It's, there's so many people enjoying the trails now, and there wasn't before. So that's why all these rules had to be instituted. We didn't have to protect the trails as much because there were less people enjoying them. So yeah, that makes it hard, because we used to be able to do a lot of things that right now are inappropriate to do.
Yeah. Kind of this fine balance, you know, because you have to be within the permit holder, the city of Duluth, or the permit issuer of city of Duluth's, you know, kind of boundaries. And I try and keep the thought of, you know, the imprint of, you know, you have an imprint on the trail, and then that's you know, where you should probably turn around. And I don't know if that's good or bad to have that kind of solid measurement or whatever, to say the trails are bad or the trails are good. It's just so hard, you know.
It is, and we've got people who are aware of that because they are on social media and they're within the running community. They understand that. But there are a lot of people who maybe live close to the trail or just walk their dogs there and don't have a means to understand why we're doing this. And they're still out there. Right now, trails are closed, but those people are still out there because they don't know any better. And we just don't know how to reach them. So we just have to work on making the trails a little more sustainable so that we can actually still be on them this time of year.
I personally believe that the answer is, I mean, because part of me, it's like running the muddy trail is fun. And if they're all like these hard packed super highways, you know, you don't have that muddy, dirty, swampy trail run anymore. Like, it's a little bit sad, you know. And that being said, I completely understand the environmental impact. But I guess the point I'm trying to make is, and maybe you can talk to this a little bit, Shelley, is the maintenance aspect. I mean, if there's more people on the trails, I think we need more people doing maintenance on the trails and kind of remediating the muddy spots. And I don't know.
No, that's actually a very good point. And we've talked about that at our NMTC committee meetings, where maybe we work with the city and we have our race on iffy trails and we go in and fix it after. Because if you remember how Western Waterfront Trail was before they went in and put down all that gravel, it was some nice single track, and now it's like a gravel road. I personally don't like running on that right now. My body, the joints in my back just don't care for that. And we don't want to do that to every trail.
Yeah.
We just have to figure out the balance. I don't know if we'll ever be able to run on crazy muddy trails again, you know, not on the city of Duluth. Private property, right. Maybe we can work with Spur Mountain. Maybe they'd be interested in setting up a mud pit for us. I don't know.
And that's a kind of a segue to, and you mentioned it, the current spring series being canceled due to COVID, and last year almost was canceled because of the muddy conditions. But I'm curious, just this year, the decision making that went into it, and I mean, obviously it's a really challenging decision to make, and I'm just kind of curious to the series of events that led to that.
Well, it was pretty easy to cancel the Western Waterfront Run because that was so early in the pandemic. You know, we were obviously not going to be outside of it then. But as we were watching other races drop and seeing the shelter in place extend, I didn't want to give people like hope and say, okay, well, we're going to cancel two races, but we might do this, and then always have to be thinking about it. And it just seemed easier and better for everybody if we just said, okay, spring series is done. Because honestly, I don't think we're going to be able to have any races by early June anyway. Right. You know, if they open us up, I think it would still be inappropriate for us to gather in big groups. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to personally, in the NMTC committee as a whole, didn't want to encourage big groups or be responsible for causing people to want to be in big groups and maybe get people sick.
Right. Yep.
Not to mention there's just costs that go into putting on even one of the races, you know, in terms of the permits and things like that. So
yeah, we already had the permits paid for. We do everything in advance. Mae Gaxtetter takes care of that for us, and she does those early in the year. So we were already set up with all our permitting and our insurance. As we get closer to the races, it's just a matter of making sure that the course that we want to use can handle the race, and then making sure that we have volunteers.
Another thing I want to kind of pick your brain about, Shelley, is the NorthlandRunner.com website, because I've kind of heard some grumblings about kind of a revamp, and I know for a fact that a lot of our listeners on the Duluth Rundown are avid NorthlandRunner.com users as well.
Yes, we had our website totally redone, and we're just working out a couple of little kinks before we roll it out. And with it rolling out soon, I stopped adding new races to Northland Runner beyond, what was it? It was beyond March. And then with all the COVID-19, even though it's taking us a little bit longer to roll out the new website, I didn't want to add any races because then we're just canceling them and such. Right. So I've been putting people on hold, and I appreciate their patience with us. We've gone through and made screen prints and instructions. People are going to be adding in their own races, and they're going to be maintaining their own races, and you're not going to have to wait for May and I to do it. And we're no longer going to be storing results. People can add in a link to their results, but people probably aren't aware, but I would have to upload all the results. I would have to do that. And it took a long time, especially if I didn't get it in a format that I can easily upload it. I had to massage that data to upload it. Yeah. And it would take me hours every week, especially, you know, when we were in the midst of a lot of races.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We're no longer going to do that. That was also very costly for us to store all that information on a server.
A lot of data.
This cheaper because we don't earn any money for that website. The website creator, Chris Gleisner, was paying for all that, and we don't want him to continue paying for that. So we had the website rewritten, and minus a little bit of edits that we still need to do, it'll be rolled out soon, and it should be great.
Very cool. That sounds great.
Thank you for continuing to do that. That's a hugely important website for the local runners. So thank you guys, and May.
You're welcome. We thought that it was warranted to keep it on too. It was very time consuming though.
Yeah. No, I think your plans for what you guys are going to do make a lot of sense to try to ease the burden of the work that you have to do on that. So, yeah.
I'm kind of curious, especially just because I'm a results nerd and a race timer. But so like, where would the North or the NMTC results be posted? Because, and I just say this because I know like there are many races, especially the smaller local ones, that get that NorthlandRunner.com is the main area to host their results, but also just their entire information about the race, which will continue, of course, but at least the results component. Where do you foresee that kind of shifting towards?
Well, Facebook is still an option. People can create an event, and they can upload, I think, like a spreadsheet or an Adobe Acrobat of the race results, or even they can take a picture of the results, the handwritten results, with their camera and put it on Facebook, and they can put that link in Northland Runner. And so when people click on it, they can at least see the results, but we're not going to store the records on any server, just the link. And for the NMTC races, we will have to store those probably on our NMTC website, and those would be in probably a spreadsheet.
Geez, I mean, I know that on northlandrunner.com there was like results from races like the Gobble Gallop to, you know, 2500 people, Grandma's Marathon, what, 20,000 people. Year after year. I mean, that has to be so much data and like bandwidth or whatever for the
yeah Yeah. And we're going to leave that up for a while, North End Runner, because I'm sure people will want to download their individual results and such. I'm not sure how long we're going to keep that going yet, because there's still a price for that, right, for the server and also for the website itself. So we'll have to decide how long to keep it up, but that data will be available for a while.
Well, I think that's so cool, Shelley, and I really hope and I think that your extensive volunteer experience is going to... You know, just get out there and do more, you know, and I just think it's so cool to hear how you use your, I mean, just your time and effort, but also like your talents, you know, being like I know you do kind of data spreadsheet type stuff in your job, and to kind of transfer those skills that you have that, you know, maybe a lot of people don't have to really enhancing, I think, the local running community. I think that's something really special and really cool. So, thank you. First of all,
I'm happy to do it.
Yeah. What else, Tony? Do you have any other questions for Shelley here?
I don't think so. Yeah. Again, Shelley, thanks so much for the work that you do with Northland Runner and with the Voyager and Kurnow too. I wanted to, you had mentioned that a little bit earlier, and I was just, you know, that those two races specifically have had, I don't know, a handful of race directors over the years, and I really like what you guys have done with it. Just kind of kept the race, really the whole feel for it, as far as I've been aware, it's the same as it's always been. It's all, you always know what you're going to get with Voyager. It's just a really fun, friendly race without a ton of frills, but just the right amount of necessary stuff. And you guys, to me, you guys have just nailed it with continuing that same tradition. So thank you for that as well.
Oh, well, you're welcome. It's a team effort.
No, you guys do a great job. I don't know. I think that's about all we have, though, for the interview section. Shel, thank you so much for joining us on the Duluth Rundown.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you guys for putting these on. This is very interesting. Well, listening to the other people, not mine.
Well, it's a lot of fun, and there's a lot of great runners and a lot of great stories in this community, and it's fun to hear from different people and different people's perspectives, and so thank you for being one of those voices.
You're welcome.
All right. And of the Duluth Rundown podcast, thank you, everyone, for joining us, and hopefully you enjoyed this episode. I really hope everybody out there is safe and healthy, and we'll just keep doing the best we can throughout these difficult times.
And in these difficult times where some people's solace is podcasts, we're going to keep pumping them out, right, Tony?
That's right, exactly.
Well, we'll see you in 3 weeks.